You're now listening to the Yes.
Check, 1, 2, yo.
You're now listening to
We Articulate Podcast with Mariah Lachey and T-Von.
All right, we're back for episode 2 of Yes, We're Articulate. I am Mariah Lachey.
It's your boy T-Von. Happy to be back with you once again.
Yeah, how's your week been?
Not bad. I've just got back from the mountains.
Oh, where were you?
The Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. Place that
I've never been there.
Yeah, you asked me a couple years ago, would you ever go to the mountains? I probably said no, because I ain't no outdoors person.
But it's peaceful. It's tranquil.
Tranquility. It's touristy. This place had everything you can think of.
Huh.
Amusement parks, every type of restaurant. Go-karts, zip lining, putt-putt, wax museums. I mean,
so it's literally, it's literally like a tourist attraction type of place. It's not, okay, so you don't have a lot of locals there.
I mean, you got locals, but it's whole economy is driven by tourism.
Huh, interesting. Or is it diverse? Do you see a lot of people coming?
We did see, because it's touristy, you did see a good mix.
Okay.
The funny story is we were playing putt-putt and met a mixed couple.
Uh-huh.
And they were very nice. And she said they had been married a couple years, older couple.
Okay.
And
Like 50s, maybe
60s. And she came up and said, you know, where they were from. They were from Kentucky, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And she said that it's a very, very Christian place.
What does that mean?
Caught us, when people say that to me, right or wrong,
Christian. Maybe
I was like, oh. Nice to you.
Right.
Try to get away. Because she said that.
So conservative. She probably meant conservative.
We were in Tennessee. She said, this is also a very Christian place.
So she probably meant conservative.
That's how I took it.
Because is that a part of the Bible Belt or whatever?
I just don't know why you feel like. Excuse me, church people. Why you would feel that you needed to say that to describe a place when you just met somebody. How I would.
Well, you know, people be holy, holy, sanctified. That's how they.
Yeah. Okay. It was, but very nice couple.
Okay,
they were
nice.
Very, very hospitable. I enjoyed my time in Tennessee.
That's good.
There for my son's birth. Baseball tournament.
Okay.
And I'll definitely go back.
Okay.
I'll definitely go back.
I'm heading to Chattanooga in October for a conference, and I've heard good things about Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard it's like a booming city.
Tennessee, I come back. I was pleasantly surprised. So that's what I've been doing last week.
I'm tired. I went to see Cardi B last night in Charlottesville.
I can't do it.
You know, I was pleasantly surprised. I like Cardi B, but I was like, I didn't think she would be very good live, but she was actually really, really good. I mean, her personality definitely like shines through. Mm-hmm. You can tell when she's getting tired because like, she'll be like, I got asthma. And it was like, it turned into like a karaoke session, but she's really honest about that. Like, but it was a good time. It was like a lot of energy. So it was her, Kevin Gates, and Saweetie.
Yeah. I just like Cardi. Like I do. It's just something about her. I liked it since she was on Love & Hip Hop.
I did.
Like, I was like, she gonna be a star.
Yeah.
And I just like her.
Yeah.
So
she's, I mean, she did a good job. It was odd that she was in Charlotte. It was weird seeing her in Charlottesville, because Charlottesville is also a very like white place to me. And so I think because she probably scheduled her tour dates late or whatever, she ended up there. So it was kind of a bizarre experience seeing her at a UVA arena.
Yeah.
Like,
but that's the type of place that, I mean, hip hop rules the culture, man.
That's true.
You know,
it was. I'm just gonna say it was a very diverse crowd.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Hip hop is everywhere, man. I'm not surprised wherever they go, you know, people.
I was just like, wow, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Yeah.
But I had a good time. My throat hurts a little bit.
Who else was there? It was her. Who else?
Saweetie,
mm-hmm.
who's like, you know, she's been out for like a few years.
Her. I like her.
And then Kevin Gates, who I honestly, I know a few of his songs. The crowd loves him.
He's interesting. Yeah. Not my dude, but
he's been in the news for some stuff, right? Like,
did he get locked up? I don't know.
I think, did he punch somebody in the face?
I don't know.
I think he punched the girl.
I can't keep up with all this stuff. But yeah.
I think he punched the girl in the face, whatever. But people loved him. Like, the crowd loved him. And he's honestly, he was a good performer.
Okay.
Like, I was bopping. So I did that. So I'm a little tired, but we gonna dig into stuff. Yeah. So while you were away, we're gonna start with politics, our president. I feel like we're always talking about him, unfortunately, but you know, it is what it is. So President Trump, and I think this was early this week, the Baltimore tweets. So I pulled up what he said, and this is just part of his Twitter rant about Baltimore in response to who is it?
Elijah Cummings,
Representative Elijah Cummings, who represents the 7th District of Baltimore, which is mostly Baltimore. As proven last week during a congressional tour, the border is clean, efficient, and well run, just very crowded. Cummings District is a disgusting rat and rodent infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place. And then he posts two other threads talking about Baltimore and how dirty and rat infested it is. And of course, this is not the first time that he's used this language to talk about a predominantly African-American city. He's just trash. Like, that's all. He's just trash. That's all I have to say.
The whole coming thing, that was a little Freudian slip there. Tell you what's on his mind.
Not surprising.
But, so, you know, because he doesn't think through what he says, little did he know, or maybe he did know and didn't care, but Kushner's family owns a bunch of properties in Baltimore. And they're like slumlords.
Yeah, so exactly.
So ask your son-in-law to
Baltimore's doing, know, yeah, and why they're
fix
in the
up his property so people don't have to live amongst rats. Now, let me say this. I've been to Baltimore, not the cleanest city in the world. Yeah, but we've all watched The Wire.
Yeah.
You know, crime.
Mm-hmm.
But that's any American city.
It
and the
really
last
is.
Time I checked, you were the president of the United States, which includes Baltimore.
Right.
So how can you like selectively choose which parts of the country that you want to represent? If something's wrong with Baltimore, what are you doing to fix it?
Right.
Why call out Elijah Cummings just because, you know, like, that's the thing I hate about this president is that, you know, he feels that he's like a schoolyard bully. Like, I'm gonna call you names.
If like, someone doesn't agree with him, it's like, it's either you're with me or you're against me. And then if you're against me. But my thing is, too, like, he has historically used
this language to talk about.
But also, he talks about, like, black. Like, I mean, he did it for Chicago. He did it for Baltimore. I think there was a time when he was, I don't know if it was New York, but other like black cities that he refers to as like rat infested. That's racist.
Yes.
That is very racist. Yes. Also, like, bro, like, these cities didn't just get this way, right? Yeah. Like, this is after like decades and decades of like inequality and disinvestment, all these things. So like, but obviously he doesn't care, he's not smart enough to think through anything
that he's saying.
He is
just off the cuff. And people, and what, you know, irritates me so much is that his support is just like, he's telling it like it is.
Yeah.
Come on, man. This racist. It's racism.
Yeah.
It's racism.
Yeah.
Any way you look at it, like, he's not going to overtly say he's a racist. To him, he's the least racist person in the world, which when somebody says that.
I have black friends.
Yeah. When people say that, then come on now.
Yeah.
But just to talk about a city like that. You know, as the president of the United States, why are we allowing this to happen, man? Why is that okay? Why does he consistently do it, like you said, to, you know, when he talks about black representatives?
Color, And I mean, I think part of it, we're not allowing it to happen because you, I mean, I was happy to see the like outcries from whether it's politicians or just people saying like calling him on his stuff and reminding him of the way that he talks about or has talked about communities of color. I mean, I just think at this point, it's just like, I often see things like this and I'm just like, I'm starting to become like desensitized to it all because he says so much that is problematic.
He's in full campaign mode. Yeah. He's all about winning. So whatever it takes to win, he's going to do that.
Yeah.
Whether that means to denigrate, you know, people of color, which we've seen him do. It's just the type of person he is, man. You know, I've said it once before. He is not the type of person that you'd want your kids to look up to.
No.
And if you want your kids to look up to somebody
it's
like
something
that,
wrong with you.
I really have to question your parenting skills.
Yeah.
Because the man is just... He's an idiot, man.
Yeah.
He's
I mean, I think that's a perfect transition. So, you know, so the debates happened this week. Mm-hmm. So they happened over 2 days. I tuned into some of the first day of debates,
mm-hmm.
And specifically watched the section on reparations,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I feel kind of slimy seeing like all of the like white candidates talk about it. It feels very like we know we need the black vote.
Right.
So, like, let me say what I need to say to get that vote. Like, it just felt very, like, it just felt very disingenuous to me watching it. Like, hearing this person talk about, like, it just felt weird to me. It just doesn't feel authentic to me.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, I know that they're politicians. I know that they're, you know, this is it. Exactly. And a lot of lip service, you know, they're trying to build their following, but I was just like, this is not it for me.
Yeah.
So,
and the whole talk around reparations, like they have to look at it differently than like, particularly black people. We not all going to get a check.
Right.
That's not how reparations is going to look. We need to, you know, we shouldn't even want that. What we should want is to attack some of these systems
that have
set us back. So is there a way that, you know, we can help with homeowners and help us buy, you know, help people buy homes or get rid of some of this debt?
Access to wealth and opportunity and education.
Criminal
and
justice reform. That type of stuff is what we should be looking at as far as reparations, because we have been you know, unequally affected by these policies that have been in place to really hold people of color back for years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to see for reparations. I don't need a check. I don't need that Equifax check for $125.
Actually, that's the option I chose. So,
I did too.
Because I'm already doing the credit monitoring. It's like, just, you know, run me my money.
Yeah, run me my money. But, like, you know, thinking bigger picture when it comes to the reparations, you know, we shouldn't ask for the check because it's much bigger than that, and we want to get, you know, tackle some of these systemic issues and policies that have been in place to hold us down.
And I mean, we'll see.
Slavery.
I mean, we'll see like what that looks like should a Democrat like gets elected. Like, are they really going to? Is it just lip service? So to be determined. And I say all that to say that I still am kind of out on the jury. Like, I still don't know who.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, I'm rooting for Harris. Like, I'm wanting her to. Mm-hmm. But I don't. I really don't know. I don't know.
She didn't have a great night last night. Particularly when Representative Gabbard from Hawaii really attacked her on her record on criminal justice
that's what's gonna keep coming out for her.
I don't think Kamala really had an answer. Came back strong enough. I mean, she stood by her record.
Okay, she did.
But I don't know if that's good enough.
Yeah.
Particularly when that's what people don't like you for.
Yeah.
And you're still going to stand on it. I think she's going to have to learn to address it a little better than what she's done.
Or acknowledge that it wasn't the right thing to do.
Right.
And then,
versus saying, I believe in what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then...
How did Sanders do?
Bernie is Bernie. Yeah. He is a little more fired up.
Oh, he was the first night. Yeah, so I remember. Yeah, he was the first night.
Him and Elizabeth Warren were there, and they kind of seemed like they're almost like partnering. Like they didn't. They chose not to go at each other.
Yeah.
Have a lot of the same policies. Mm-hmm. And stances.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be interesting to see as it goes further and further mm-hmm. along how they try to differentiate yeah. themselves from each other.
Okay.
Because they're trying to pull from the same, you know, right. more progressive side of the party.
Right.
And I think the Democratic Party is going to have to come to issue with, are you going to be a far, I won't say far left, but are you right. going to be a progressive party or are you going to be a more moderate
yeah.
party?
Yeah.
The Joe Biden part of the party says you have to be moderate,
versus in order the to Sanders. Get
those people that yeah. actually voted for Trump to yeah. come back over.
Sure.
But the progressives fire up. You know, yeah. those are the people that are yeah. out there knocking on doors yeah. And are fired up and tend to be younger.
Yeah.
And so. Well,
I think you see that. So one thing is the whole like, which I think people have mixed thoughts about, but I think it's great. Like Bernie and Cardi B. Like,
yeah.
so they recently sat down to talk about like all things politics. She did a video for him.
Yeah.
And he's excited about like, just really like her. Maybe like her being able to bring more younger people and involve them in the political process and thinking forward to 2020. And I think people have like mixed views of it. On the one hand, it's just like, it's great that she's involved. On the other hand, it's like, she also is a rapper. How much does she know about this space?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why should anyone listen to her?
Yeah.
But I think any person, like any young person of color who's involved, I'm glad that she's excited
right.
about it. And
right.
the reality is she does have a specific type of following, but she has a following. People listen to her, like whoever they are,
and,
you know what I mean?
And so those
people can vote. So like, why not use her platform to get people out to the polls?
Yeah.
Like, I don't see anything wrong yeah, with it.
I don't either. I think it's smart on his end
yeah.
to engage people, particularly mm-hmm. Cardi B, on the younger,
yeah.
More progressive, you know, people of color.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he's going to win the Democratic primary. You're
yeah.
going to have to engage
yeah.
those people. I've always said that, you know, Bernie's old,
yeah.
Obviously, but
yeah.
he's finding a way to engage the younger
yeah.
people and showing that he can connect with them.
Yeah.
And that's going to go a long way.
Yeah.
We haven't seen many of the other candidates really, you know,
yeah.
go there yet. I expect they will. I'm much like you. I'm still up in the air. I don't know which way this thing is going to go.
No.
It's a lot of people
it's
up there.
It's still 16 people, I think.
Yeah. It's, what, it's 20 people.
Oh, it's 20.
10
okay.
each night, I believe.
Yeah.
yeah so, no telling which way this thing could go. Maybe it was 16, 8,
yeah.
8 of people.
Yeah.
Anyway, 8, between 16
too
to 20.
Too many to count.
Too many. there's people up there that I didn't even know who they were.
This is what I'm saying. Who
yeah.
are you?
But, you know, we shall see, man. I am skeptical
mm-hmm.
That we found a candidate yet that can beat Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Joe Biden was supposed to be that dude. And
yeah.
from the first
yeah,
two
he's...
from the first two debates now,
okay.
he has not impressed me.
Yeah.
Particularly last night, I did not like that for somebody that is touted being, you know, Barack Obama's vice president,
mm-hmm.
he tried to run away from some of the policies when people
yeah.
attacked, which I didn't like either,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of these candidates kind of attacked
yeah.
What Obama did instead of what Trump did.
Yeah.
And he tried to run away from it. I'm like, nah, you gotta embrace that dude.
Yeah, I think I get the impression for Biden that he felt like he had this in the bag.
Yeah.
Based off of, especially from communities of color,
yeah.
like who really loved Obama,
right.
and loved like he and Obama's friendship or
right.
whatever it was, I get the sense that he thinks that he like that's a sure thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's why it's seeming
yeah.
to me like
the
he's not actually
the
like
political winds
trying.
Have changed because
yeah.
Had it been you know had Trump not won, it'd be a lot different. Obviously,
right.
I mean, obviously Hillary would be going for re-election, but I think We are very, very, very skeptical of all politicians now. We've seen how the political climate, the overall climate in the country is much more divisive now. We don't take people at lip service anymore.
It's like, yeah, that sound good.
We're harder on all politicians now, particularly people of color. It's a uphill battle for Kamala. It's an uphill battle for Cory. Cory Booker used the line last night. Dipping in the Kool-Aid and don't know the flavor. I was like, dude, what year is
he
it?
He actually
said that to Biden. And I was like, Cory, man, come on, it's 2019. And it ain't 1998.
Right.
Like, don't say that again. That was not cool. That was not cool at all. I was embarrassed. And I'm the type when I watch TV and something embarrassing, come on.
I can't. You know there's a term for that? What? It's like called something, like it's like secondhand something, where you watch something, you're like, oh my gosh, she's going to do this. I'm the same way.
I was like, oh man, why you do that? And he thought it was so cool and like, no, brother.
I don't think he really has a shot.
But, I think, if the Democrats do pull it off, I think we'll see a very diverse cabinet. As I told you earlier when we were speaking before the show started, I think, you know, if Kamala doesn't win, I could see her being
AG.
Attorney General. I could see Cory Booker getting some type of cabinet position.
Sure.
I am optimistic there if Democrats do pull it off. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. In the back of my mind, it's an idea that I have that I feel like somebody like what is his name? That used to be the governor of Indiana, Republican. What is his name? John he ran for president last time. He's a moderate. I can't think of his name. I think there's going to be a there's some Republicans that would hate to see Donald Trump win so much that you might see a third party candidate that wouldn't mind siphoning off votes just so
Donald to take it away.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening. Just because I think deep down, some people know that Donald Trump has no business being president another 4 years.
Yeah.
So I can see that happening. I hope that happens. Yeah. That'd be great. But like I said, with the Democratic candidates, they have to get it together. Last night there was a lot of infighting and calling each other out, attacking Barack Obama's record, and I'm like, that's not how we're gonna win. Mm-hmm. Y'all are giving fuel to Donald Trump. We should be attacking him on the policies he's put in place. And too often last night, and I ain't see it too much the night before, but particularly last night, it was a lot of that. Attacking because Biden was there, attacking some of the policies. So,
okay,
I'm skeptical.
I don't know.
To say
the
least,
all I'm gonna say is privilege. That's what we see in office right now.
People out to vote. Go out and vote, please.
We're gonna say that every episode until next November. It's like PSA: vote. If you are voting age and you are still allowed to vote, or you work to get your rights restored,
Like
there are groups that can help you do that. Like, look that up. Like, it is super important. It really does. So we're gonna transition a little bit to, I guess, like pop culture stuff, like some things going on socially. So the first thing is, I was super excited to hear this see this last week. The trailer to the Harriet Tubman movie.
Right.
That's gonna be coming out November 1st. And so I think initially there was a lot of excitement about it. But then a few days after the trailer was released, Black Twitter went off because Cynthia Erivo, who's playing Harriet Tubman. She's a black woman, but she is from the UK. And folks felt like they should have casted an African American to portray Harriet Tubman, a black woman who was born in the United States and was enslaved. And so you have some people there's like a hashtag boycott Harriet Tubman movie, who are saying they're not going to see it. And part of that is, And so part of that is because Sia and Revo has said, I looked up some things too. She has said like problematic things about Black Americans in the past. And so people are just like, y'all really casted her to like play this woman. So what are your thoughts on it? I know my thoughts on it.
I don't like her tweets about black, you know, about blacks in here in America. You know, I think she definitely, people rightfully so have issue with what she said. At the same time, when these people go in and audition for these roles, I think the directors pick the best person. So if, you know, she went in and killed it, how can we be mad? You know, we're seeing more and more you know, we're seeing more and more British actors, black British actresses and actors come here and play roles. I ain't see y'all, people ain't too upset when Idris Elba is playing roles.
Somebody else said that. when he's playing like a Jamaican or like...
Ain't nobody got a problem with that. But because, you know, she said, had these comments, we have issue. These British actors are so good. Like, I didn't know that the brother that played the lead role on Snowfall. You watch Snowfall?
I don't, but I heard he's British.
He's British.
Yeah.
I didn't know it until I watched another. I was watching Black Mirror on Netflix and saw him on there, and he's playing, and he like had a British accent. And I was like, man, this brother.
I mean, you're seeing that a lot. I mean, I think so. When I first, when I first saw the trailer, I didn't think like, oh, Cynthia Erivo. I don't think that I connected that she was from the UK. So my thought on it is, I think it's a valid point that people feel like black actress from the U.S. should have been casted. I mean, I see value in that. And there's
tons. Very powerful story.
It's a powerful story. And like really reclaiming and owning that narrative means being intentional about who's playing that role. So I totally understand that. And I think there are a wealth of like black actresses who I think could have done, or not like a wealth, but like there's a good number of like black women I could see playing that role. And I do think Cynthia and Revo's like tweets in the past have been problematic. Period. Because I'm not going to say however. This is a second thought. I am still going to go see the movie because I am not with this whole canceling culture where it's like you do one thing or like one thing is not right in the grand scheme of all these other things, and it's all of a sudden boycott the whole movie.
She's not like, the only person in the movie.
Exactly.
You know, do we really want to boycott the movie on Harriet Tubman?
It's still, I don't.
At the end of the day, we're still all brothers and sisters when you go back. You know, for right or wrong, what she said, you know, like I said, take her to task for that. Boycotting the movie.
I don't agree with that. And I think it's a story that needs to be told to start conversation for us to see ourselves on the screen. And so I think just choosing, and I mean, people are going to do what they want to do, but choosing to not see the movie altogether or take someone, your child, to go see the movie, I think that's like, I think to me, that is a very like polarizing response.
Yeah.
So November 1st, I am looking forward to going to see the movie. And I will be there. And I mean, I'm sure maybe it won't be like the perfect or the like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm looking forward to supporting and seeing what it's about at the very least. The trailer looked dope.
The trailer did look good. My suggestion to Hollywood, I would like to see, you know, I think we've the slavery era, I think we've seen a lot of movies. You know, we had the Nat Turner movie, which was great. Birth of a Nation, I thought was good. You can go back 12 Years a Slave, I thought was a great movie. Even, you know, the more comedic turns on it, like Django.
I need to go back and watch that because apparently Django is like so good.
It's one of my favorite Tarantino movies. But at the same time, I would like to see more modern movies, you know. Can we see more from, you know, the civil rights era, something like that? Or if you're going to go back further into, you know, more African African history, and let us learn more about when we were kings and queens. You know what I mean? Not just when we were slaves. I like to hear more about those stories as well. And I think there are some movies that they are looking to bring to the big screen about some of that stuff. So
that's a good point. I hadn't really thought. I definitely agree with the critique of like moving past that. I, also though, and I know a lot of people don't agree, I do not mind seeing movies about though like Africans who were enslaved if it depicts us resisting it.
Right.
Because I think my issue with a lot of movies that came out in the past was that you would think that we were slaves and we just passively, like, you know, we not necessarily loved it, but we never fought against it. Whereas I think what I did appreciate about seeing like Nation, things like that on the big stages where we were fighting like hell.
And it have that, and that narrative around, you know, a white, you know, a white person coming to
It was like, no, we were working to like free ourselves. And so I don't mind seeing it if it's that narrative. But you're right. I'm past seeing it from the like, you know, this abolitionist came and freed. I'm not interested in that.
Y'all taught us that in school. That's the history we already know. Teach me something different.
Yeah.
Move past that. Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I am too. I am too. Yeah. So we'll see. So something else that's been going on, Mario Lopez, who I only know him as Slater, right? He slays Slater in Saved by the Bell. But he recently, during an interview, made some comments that people found offensive. So what he said, so he was having a conversation with a commentator around, like, I think his daughter or something, and he made a comment basically about like transgenders, and he said, quote, "I'm kind of blown away too. I'm never one to tell anyone how to parent their kids, obviously. And I think if you come from a place of love, you really can't go wrong. But at the same time, my God, if you're 3 years old and you're saying you're feeling a certain way, or you think you're a boy or a girl or whatever the case may be, I think it's dangerous as a parent to make that determination," quote. Basically saying like he doesn't think that at that young of an age a kid can really know, and he feels like parents are kind of condoning that decision right? Like, is that
that quote you just said? Me as a parent.
That's what I was gonna ask. How would you?
I didn't find it offensive.
Okay.
I think we're in a environment where particularly when it comes to anything related to LGBT, transgender issues, like you have to tiptoe around it. And I think that's wrong. I think people should be able to have their opinion on it, particularly when it comes to parenting. I should be able to parent my kid the way I want. I think personally, myself, kids go through a phase where they, you know, they may see and try on some shoes, your mom's shoes, or you're a boy. That doesn't necessarily mean that that kid wants to identify as a female. You have to, as a parent, I feel that you have to correct your kids. And if you correct them and you still see them, you know, going down that path, then all right, maybe now you start to have that conversation. But I'm not going to say at 3 years old, at 4 years old, that my son is son or daughter is able to make the decision on how they identify their kids. I just think
you think that's like a projection of sorts, like the parents projecting, or like
again, this is just me as a parent. I see boy, I see girl. Kids play with, it might be boys that play with dolls and so forth. It's a phase. How much do you push it, right? You try to correct it. Maybe correct isn't the right word, but as a parent, you still have to be a parent and not just be, okay, I'm gonna go along for the ride. I see you correct some behaviors. And like I said, if they choose to keep going in that direction, you see that well, I tried to tell him that these are mommy's shoes, but he continues to want to wear mommy's shoes, or okay, then so be. But too often, if another somebody that, you know, if somebody from the LGBT community or ally sees a parent doing that, trying to correct the kid, oh, you're wrong for correcting them. I'm the parent. This is my kid. You know, so you can't be mad at people for how they raise their kids. I just think we have to be careful that we don't just say that kids, you know, they're at the age of three, at the age of five, they're ready to make a decision on how they identify. I just don't think kids know.
I think that, but I think that's outside of just like your sexual orient. I think that kids are just like, they're exploring things, and they're, but that doesn't necessarily, and I mean, I think, I don't know. I didn't really, when I make maybe I need to like hear his comments in person, but just like reading it, I didn't at face value seem like I wasn't offended by it, but I do also recognize that I'm not a part of that community. Right. And so I want to be cognizant that maybe like for that community, folks who are identify as LGBTQ plus, like that was offensive. Because I do think that like there's something to be said about, well, what is correct? Like correct what? The assumption of that is that there is a correct way to be. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's what they thought. So I don't really know. And so apparently he apologized about it, but then people were like, you shouldn't have apologized.
I didn't feel he should have apologized. Yeah. Everybody gets to raise their kids the way they want. Yeah. You can't tell me how I'm going to raise my kids. Yeah. And I just think it's a slippery slope when it comes to, you know, when you're talking about, you know, how you identify mm-hmm. at the age of 3, 4, 5 years old. Yeah. The kids really think like that. And maybe they do.
I have no clue. I don't remember what I was thinking at 3, to be honest.
But are you really going, are really at a stage where yeah. you're going to let a kid mm-hmm. make those decisions that have, you know, that's a big decision.
Yeah.
At that age.
Yeah.
I just can't see me allowing my kid to do, you know, mm-hmm. allowing my son to say, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
Like I just don't, I think you, like I said, kids go through phases. And you can either choose to go along for the ride mm-hmm. or just be there to kind of.
Maybe they were more critiquing how like parents respond to those right. types of expressions.
Do it like you know, don't say you don't.
That's
you,
bad, yeah, right? Like that's not
you're a boy,
like
that type thing. Maybe right. that's not it.
Yeah,
but
right.
that and like I said, correction maybe isn't the word mm-hmm. right word, but directing your kids or telling them or giving them a different perspective is part of being a parent.
Yeah.
You don't have to go along with everything your kids brings to you.
Right.
So
I try to steer clear of the. I'm not a parent yet, so I like do not pretend to judge or you know what I mean mm-hmm. like I am a recipient of parenting and I would say good parenting, but I do not have to parent mm-hmm. like whole human beings mm-hmm. so and, I can't really
it's crazy because the kids are they have they have access to
so much yeah.
You can't shield them from this stuff and it's in the forefront of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they're putting sexual orientation and all that stuff in cartoons and movies and TV shows and so forth, so they're seeing it every single day. Mm-hmm. Questions going to come up.
Yeah,
it's just a certain way that you need to talk about mm-hmm. it. And you know, it's not easy as a parent, mm-hmm. But at the same time, be a parent.
Right.
And know that there's a, you know, there's being a parent and there's being a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a parent before mm-hmm. I be a friend. That's the way I was raised. That's the way I'm going to raise my kids.
I mean, I feel like even sometimes I think about this, like doing the show, like I feel like because we live in a culture now where if you say one thing, everybody's like, forget it. I'm not messing with Mariah no more. I'm not messing with, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I feel like I think that's like so problematic. Mm-hmm. Like, because the reality is like, obviously, like Mario Lopez is a public figure or whatever. But I think that people really like, where's the space for people to like have conversations about these things and maybe make mistakes in what they're saying without being like judged or canceled or like people not being so critical about it? And I would say that outside of just like sexuality, I would say that toward like other controversial issues as well, you know?
Because I know a lot of people would listen to our show and be like, well, you guys say that about sexual orientation, but if someone would say it
about race,
you guys,
I go off.
Yeah, and right, we do.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, I've had conversations with people that don't think, you know, when it comes mm-hmm. to race, don't think exactly like me. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate them being able to tell, you know, their perspective. I might tell them
that's
that perspective is wrong. But I want to hear it and understand why they think the way they think. In particular, I had, how do you speak to black people? Is it okay to call you?
Wait, what happened?
You know, is it okay to call you, you know, colored or
who asked if they call you colored though?
They call no names.
But you know, somebody said that in 2019. Who uses that? Nobody
should use that. But it's use it as a learning opportunity to say, hey, colored. That's not. what you'd want to call somebody. This is why we feel offended when you say that. You know, it's a learning opportunity. It's again, as is the case for why we have a show like this, why we have our platform.
It's to talk through it.
It's to share our perspective so that you can understand where we're coming from.
Yeah,
that's fair. And as much as possible, I try to understand the other perspective, but some things are just wrong. when you think white people are better than black people, I'm not gonna go along with that. That's not a perspective that I want to hear.
So that happened. Next, so ASAP Rocky, for those of you who don't know, hopefully everybody knows, he's a rapper. He's originally from New York, but
pretty
like
flocked,
he would have you think that he's like from like the West Coast. Anyway, I think it's been like
ASAP.
I think it's been like a few weeks now. He went up abroad in Sweden because he was out there touring or doing a concert, and he got into an altercation with two locals there. So two like Swedish people. Is that Swedish? Yeah. So apparently guys who were following them, they were antagonizing them or whatever. And so what ended up happening is that ASAP Rocky and his security ended up getting in a fight with these two gentlemen. And they ended up getting arrested. And they were being held, I think without bond. And so there's been a lot of like outcry from particularly like Black Americans here, celebrities. Like, you know, to know like why he's being held without bonds, like what's going on, and all of these things. So I think a few days ago the trial started. He pleaded not guilty to, I don't know if it was like assault or whatever, but he's facing like jail time over there apparently for this incident. I feel like I guess I'm not, and I like music, but I wouldn't say I'm a fan because I only know like a few like songs. Understanding why all this support is going toward, I mean, granted, it sucks that a black man is like locked up abroad,
right.
Especially if he didn't, like if literally these guys were following him and he was literally just protecting himself. Right. Let's not forget some problematic things, like the Black Lives Matter. He's like, well, basically that don't apply to me,
right?
Blah blah blah, because I, you know, I got my house Beverly Hills and blah blah blah. You still look. Nigga in a coop. So like first of all, and secondly, there are lots of people outside of celebrities who don't deserve to be in jail, and so I'm trying to wrap my head around about why he's getting like garnering like all this support. So I don't know, I feel like a little like I mean, I get it, but like I don't
I mean, getting the support because he's famous,
and
you know, he live, you know, I think they said Kim and Kanye were lobbying to get him going.
And Jada Pinkett Smith and
Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is spoken out against it. And you know, this is Donald Trump loves this type of stuff because it's a celebrity. And let me tell you,
it's crazy.
He doesn't care about black people. I'm using Kanye line. But black celebrity, because he feels like he says he can do it for all. Feels like trying to get you guys. What are you doing for people that, you know, the non-celebrity people of color? And you always talking to, you know, you down, you're down to their be upset. And you give Donald Trump.
He's still going to jail.
Still going to trial. And like I said, I like ASAP Rocky music. I'm a fan. I really do. I like every one of his albums that he's came out with. But at the same time, it's not something that I'm going to lose sleep over. I hate any brother being unjustifiably held or you know, having justice done against them. But at the same time, there are worse things out there happening.
I agree.
You know, and there are worse things out there
people
happening.
People who actually need the support, the celebrity support and resources behind them, because they literally do not deserve to be in jail because they did nothing.
Right. Here in the United States.
Not in Sweden. United States.
So, you know, ASAP, I hope you get out, man.
I hope everything works out for him, because if he doesn't deserve to be there, I'm just saying, this is like a big deal.
Right.
I don't know. So I was about to say something else, but I kind of forgot. So it must not have been important. So let's move on to local. things going on in the city of Richmond and surrounding. So Jamestown celebration happened.
Yeah, so you wanna Trump came
Trump isn't like all this episode. Yeah, like we can't escape him.
On Air Force One to speak at the Jamestown about the
celebrating 400 years of democracy.
Of democracy. Yeah. The black congressional caucus of Virginia decided they weren't gonna participate. The Mayor Stoney from City of Richmond, he did not participate. We even had one of the delegates in the House of Delegates or congressman for the state of Virginia from Northern Virginia somewhere. Mm-hmm. He stood up and kind of interrupted the program as it was going on, talking about I'm not going home, you know, as a way to get back at Trump. And you know, I'm not sure what was going through Governor.
Yeah, who invited him?
The governor invited him.
Oh, Northam.
Northam did. I think Northam
did. And that's the last thing he needed to have done after all his controversy.
You know,
what was he thinking?
Well, you know, you only have one term here. You know, you don't have to run for re-election.
He's really showing himself. That's all I'm saying.
But, yeah, I mean, I just don't think Trump is the right person to represent democracy. That's just my perspective.
It's the irony of
Jamestown, and this is right after he made the comments about, you know, our four women of color in the Congress, and then also about Baltimore.
Yeah.
Like, think of Jamestown, think of the first slaves coming over, and so forth. Like, is that the type?
It just make it make sense.
Yeah,
because it don't make sense.
It don't make sense.
And just Northam,
look at it from our perspective,
exactly. And Northam, after your whole blackface controversy, this is the like you needed to have been advised against this.
Yeah.
And I'm just not understanding. So, but I also like, I mean, Mayor Stoney, like, I think that is great. The Black Caucus, like, they didn't show up. And so what they did in lieu of it is that they had other events, I think, happening in Richmond or whatever. So they did do something as a protest to it, but they decided that they were going to pull out because, I mean, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable.
And it's their right. If you don't participate, then so be it.
That's like, democracy,
I remember a few years back, probably like 2012, around that time, not too long after Barack going into his second term, he came to my hometown, PG County, Prince George.
Did he really?
Yeah, he came to visit, and there were people saying that they didn't want to go. You know, they didn't want to be a part of it. So
don't come.
So don't get mad when people don't want you know, Trump there.
Yeah.
You know, I even remember when I was teaching. You know, people didn't, you know, people had issue with, it wasn't when I was teaching, but when Barack got elected, parents didn't want him speaking to their kids. You know, that message that the president gives, like, here it is. I've been in school all them years. When I was teaching, you know, Bush would give his that same message. Clinton gave that same message. Reagan, older Bush gave the same message.
All of a sudden,
and we just go to school. You just do it. It's the president of the United States giving the message. And people had issue with Barack Obama giving the message to their kids.
Really?
Like, he was trying to brainwash them. Yeah. So if you thought Rock was gonna brainwash you, then I'm damn sure don't want my kid listening to Trump. But my kids have been in school listening to Trump. They know who he is.
Yeah.
As a parent, I've taught them who he is. People take issue with it, but I have no problem with people not participating in that Jamestown celebration with him being there, because I think he was the wrong person to speak and be part of it. That's just my opinion. Had he been a regular president that wanted to bring people together, that has been you know, a champion of diversity and non-divisive for the country, and really embraced all that America is, with, you know, you know, people of all different colors and creeds coming together to this great democracy, he'd be a great person to speak to it. But that is
not who he is.
So no issues with my brothers and sisters not participating in that event.
I agree. So bringing it to Richmond a little bit, and I think you said you found out about this yesterday, but I thought it was just like breaking a few hours ago, where And if you don't know, in Richmond, for a while, there have been plans to redevelop the Navy Hill neighborhood. And that is the neighborhood that really surrounds like the Coliseum, where the Richmond Coliseum is. And the Richmond Coliseum is, it just goes, it's just an underutilized space. The neighborhood is in need of revitalization and, you know, just some intentional development. But the, so there was a plan put on the table, a proposal to develop, I think it was like $1.5 million. But it, that,
billion dollars,
excuse me. And that was paused because there just wasn't a lot of community engagement involved in creating the plan, and folks felt like there were a lot of agreements made behind closed doors that the community wasn't aware of. So that plan was on pause, but apparently it's been given the go ahead, and it's to go to city council, I think, next week for them to vote on it. And according to the mayor's office, it would result in terms of like a economic development perspective around jobs, 12,500 jobs in construction, 9,000 permanent jobs. And the idea is to build another like arena in addition to mixed use, like commercial space and affordable housing in the area. And so I'm interested to see about the like what this decision is going to reignite should it be passed by city council, because it was really controversial because folks felt like there were only a few people involved in the decision, and there were a lot of corporate people sitting at the table, and it was like, who is this really for? Like, who is this in the best interest of? But I recognize I don't necessarily have the context of that neighborhood in terms of like, you know, so do you have any thoughts on the project? And
It's a chicken before the egg type deal. Okay. Like, you know, people, whenever there's some big project in Richmond, people have a right to be skeptical.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the city hasn't always done right when it comes to these big projects on the money.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, Richmond lacks a lot of what other comparable cities have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Charlotte.
Yeah.
You know, Charlotte attracts you know, a different type of a business because
it has those,
you know, it has a downtown, it has the facilities that you expect from a, you know, a city of its size. Richmond should be like Charlotte.
Yeah.
Has the capability to be like Charlotte. Whenever you spend a whole lot of money, people come, you know, always come back to, well, you need to spend money on the schools. Yes, mm-hmm. You do need to spend money on schools. But the city also needs a tax base.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get people to come move to the city is mm-hmm. when you have the facilities that attract big mm-hmm. business and can actually bring money to the city. So I am all for revitalization.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have the right to understand where the money's coming from and how it's going to be spent.
Mm-hmm.
I think too often Richmond has been hesitant to go forward with mm-hmm. the big projects
mm-hmm.
Because we always get stuck in this.
Yeah.
It should be going to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
We can do both.
Yeah.
Some way.
Yeah.
And particularly if you have some of this private money coming in,
mm-hmm.
If they want to do something and get some tax incentives,
mm-hmm.
that's how it typically works.
Yeah.
I just think, what are we going to do? Just let that area just sit there? The Coliseum is just sitting there.
Yeah.
It's closed. Nothing's nothing there. So why not find a way to bring some tax money there?
Yeah.
There, bring some affordable housing, bring some mixed use.
Mm-hmm.
I think you look at that, plus you look at what they're trying to do on the boulevard, or if they once they finally move the develop the diamond and move that. I mean, you had a chance to really transform the school,
mm-hmm.
transform the city into, to, you know, a entertainment destination that people want to mm-hmm. come to. You know, right now concerts come to, you know,
WWE, because the Coliseum, they're going to Virginia State.
They're going to Virginia State.
That's crazy.
Oh, you went to see Cardi B in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
Back in the day, she would have been at the
Coliseum. Richmond.
So, you know, those are the type of opportunities that Richmond is missing out on.
Yeah.
Yes, we have the National. Yes, we have, you know, the Altria Center. We have the other concert venues, but they're not as big.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get the big acts there like you would in some of the other cities.
Yeah.
So, you know, Richmond has to do something. And every mayor comes in and wants to have that big project,
and
big program. And this is Stoney's big thing. He's betting big on it.
He is. I mean, I think so. my perspective on it, and this is me putting on my planning hat, but also just, you know, I think a few things. One is, you're right, Richmond, in order for it to put itself on the map and really be considered like a metropolitan area and provide that experience, it does need to up its game in terms of like just building up its downtown and its scene. Like, what is it known for? Secondly, I don't think that people who are against the project necessarily don't believe that, right? Like, they want to live in a city where there are things to do and it's happening, it's popular. I just think that people are against, one, the lack of transparency that is often associated with these types of projects, where it's like, one, you're not, like, community members who are going to be impacted by things like this are not involved in the process, or they don't even, like, know what's going on. And I think at the very least, like, local government does have a responsibility to keep people in the loop, so that it doesn't seem like this, like, closed door conversation, and, you know, that people can't be in on. One thing that you mentioned is, yes, you have to attract a tax base, right? Like, the only way that you can create, like, a place where the only way that you can try to ensure that the schools get better is by, like, attracting people. I don't always agree with that. Like, I think another part of that is investing in the people who already live there. Because the reality is like, Richmond has tons of great people who just don't, you know, if you think of those, like, working class folks that just haven't had access to the things in order to make them valuable and be able to contribute to the tax base. So I don't think it's always about attracting other people into the city. That's part of it. Like, that's one strategy, but it's also, like, investing in the people who already live here. And I think that's part of why the pushback comes. It's like, yeah, you're trying to attract all these outside people, but what about the people who have lived here for years? I think this is my fifth point. My fifth point is around the affordable housing piece. So all affordable housing is not created equally. Right. And I'm interested to see, what's the mix of this affordable housing going to be? Is it going to be, like, deeply, deeply affordable? Like, I'm not talking about one bedroom for $1,100 and $1,200. That's expensive, first of all. That's for the young professional who is a transplant in Richmond and can afford that. But what about families? Like, what about multifamily rentals where, you know, the mother and father, the family who has two kids, like, is it going to be affordable housing there? So I hope that they are really intentional about making that the affordability is diverse, so that there's, like, market rate housing, but there's also deeply affordable housing, you know, like 60% AMI and below. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern. And then also, my last point is... The commercial space that's happening, I hope it's not a bunch of just frou-frou coffee shops and colonizer coffee shops, because that, like, that is not going to be true to the culture that is currently Richmond,
right?
And or it's not going to necessarily speak to the people of color of Richmond. So I hope that the businesses that they're creating or attracting are going to be a diverse set of businesses, because that's really going to shape the experience that everyone has in that area should it be redeveloped. All that being said, I think like that space can have something that could stand to have something be done to it. But I really do hope that it doesn't just become another, like, you know, luxury condo place, right, like you see happening in DC and all these other places, yeah, you know? So yeah, those are my 6 points. Great points.
I agree with the majority of everything you said. I am all about progression. I'm all about the city growing.
Yeah.
Just like you said, to do it transparent about how you do it.
That's it.
And hopefully they you know, it comes to fruition and they do it the right way.
I know.
Invite the right people in. We shall see.
But
I just want something done. Not only there, but like I said, with the whole I'm a baseball guy, so I want to see the diamond.
That's true.
Give the squirrels get a new facility.
A facelift, yeah.
Because they deserve it. They need it. The city needs it. And I think, you know, you look at those two areas, particularly around the diamond. That's prime real estate, and I think it's prime for some nice developments. And if you go to other cities, you go to Charlotte, you know, you go to other mid-sized cities, man, they have those things that Richmond just doesn't have. I mean, we're seeing it start to come. You know, you have like Scott's Edition and places like that. You see it happening. You see down, you know, you see, you know, pieces of it coming together when you see over in Rockets Landing and so forth. But I think
it's not cohesive. But, it's not like you know how you wanna be able to say, you were trying to go downtown. Right. Let's go to this place downtown. And like, you can't really say that here. Yeah, like, not every day.
In the piece you said, I think it's very important that it should be, make sure that we invest in the people that are already here, making sure that we're not pushing out, you know, the people that, you know, are here, have been here. We want to make sure they can still afford to live in Richmond once all these things happen. So
exactly.
So it's not easy.
We'll see. And I mean, this is not going to be like, how long? Like a 10-year project? Like, this I mean, it's going to take a while.
It's going to take a while. Yeah, so.
And we'll see if city council adopts it. And I don't know enough about their stance on it to know whether or not it's like a long shot for them to adopt it or to approve it or not. So, we'll see. Yeah. I think that's all. Anything else? That's what's going on our side of town.
I think that's, for the most part, everything that's been going on, man. You know, as we try to wrap things up, man, I'm just excited about what the future holds for us. I know we got coming up.
I was going to say, you have some stuff going up, so let's share what's going on.
I'll be on Snuff McGee's show tomorrow.
All right.
We'll actually be interviewing another local politician. To pull up her name, give me a second. Okay.
She's running for office.
She is running for office.
Oh, cool. Okay.
She is. Name? She is running in the 62nd district.
Okay.
She is a Republican.
Interesting. See, that's where I gotta.
Carrie Corner is her name, and she's running. No, she's not.
She's coming on Snuff McGee.
She's coming on Snuff McGee. I don't know how he pulled it off, but he pulled it off, so I'll have some tough.
I'm glad I declined that invite.
I think it's an opportunity that I ask some tough questions and really try to get her perspective.
What area is that district?
So the 16th district is actually Chesterfield.
Okay.
So it's the area. It'll be fun.
Let me know how that goes. And then Saturday,
we'll do something a little bit different here on Yes We're Articulate. We're gonna have like a little all boys. All my dudes. All right. Couple of my boys coming through. We're gonna chop it up a little bit. Just talk. Me mainly, you know, talking about baseball and that stuff.
Baseball.
Got a couple
edition.
Of my baseball buddies.
Probably football, because that's about to start up.
I ain't no big football guy, but you know, wherever the conversation goes, you know, we'll do that. And then I think coming up on August 13th, we'll have Marcus Jones,
who's running for Board of Supervisors in Henrico County.
We're Articulate. And then later on in September, we're going to have a boy show. Got to return to
favor. Yeah, we're going
to
have Yes We're Articulate. Girl Talk, Ladies Edition. And so I'll be inviting some friends just over to chat about, you know, most of them are kind of entrepreneurs. And so we'll be just talking about, you know, we'll do our kind of politics, social, but then I want to pick their brains around, you know, stuff that they do. So we have some things in the pipeline. For you to look forward to. And as always, we want to plug that, you know, we have the podcast, but we also have the Yes We Articulate apparel. So go ahead and check that out and reach out to us if you have questions about that. But some dope merchandise online. So check it out and order some stuff and stay tuned for more stuff to be dropped.
But we'll definitely shout out the Educate and Elevate. Shirt that we got, so please check that out.
That's a hot sell. My mom got it. Can I just say, my mom is
our biggest fan.
Is our biggest fan. Yes. Like, she ordered this tank, and I looked at it. I was like, where are you wearing that?
Don't matter.
But it don't matter, because she be just ordering things. So shout out to my mama for ordering our stuff and all the people who support and listen and like, you know, articles on the Facebook page, all that stuff. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes, and you know, for those of you who this may be your first time listening, we are available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor,
Overcast, Apple.
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts.
Pretty much any place that you listen to podcasts. go ahead and subscribe to Yes We're Articulate. You know, we try not to disappoint you. I think we speak to you in a way that, you know, you can understand it. Like I said, we come from a perspective of you know, that, you know, may not be heard everywhere. And you know, it's current events. It's not
it's conversation more than anything. So I was gonna say too, if, like, you know, something happens, so we are releasing 2 episodes a month, but if something happens during the week and you want to hear us talk about it, yeswearticulate@gmail.com. shoot us, say, oh, I want to hear what y'all think about this topic, and like, we're open to that as well. So
definitely, and if you do listen to us, please, you know, go ahead and rate us, drop a comment, and let us know how we're doing, good or bad. All feedback is good feedback. Mm-hmm. So we trying to get bigger and better with every episode.
That's it.
Trying to learn from each episode. So you know, our listeners, let us know about that. So please, we welcome that. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. You know, we appreciate you. Shout outs as we about to close this thing out.
Shout outs. I don't know. I just think all the people who are supporting. So my mom, Barbara Williams, all my friends who have been so supportive of just like everything. Like my girlfriends are like, girl, you got it. Like, just so dope. Shout out to Bay, because he's always supportive. He's like, where you going this late? I'm like, I'm going to record an episode. And I'll say shout out again to like Snuff, because he's like giving you opportunity to like come through or whatever. And that seems like really cool.
And he shouted us out on his
show. He did. So what your shout outs?
My shout outs always, I always say shout out to my family, my wife, my 3 kids. You know, that's why I get up every day and do what I do. And like you said, everybody that supports us, continue to support us, and just, you know, everybody out there doing what you do, getting up every day to go to work, grinding for what you love, continue to do it. If you don't do it, somebody else gonna do it. If you ain't getting better, somebody out there getting better. So, you know, hope, use that as some motivation, and keep listening to us here at Yes We're Articulate.
All right.
I'm your boy T Vaughn,
and I'm Mariah Lachey.
Until next time, people, peace.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to the Don't Stop. We're Articulate Podcast with Mariah Lachey and T. Vaughn.